Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good day once again, everybody. Thanks for hopping on board with the latest edition of Gun 01. It is brought to you by Patterson's Square Garden. I'm Derek Gunn. Well, the anticipation is finally over. We've been talking about it and waiting for weeks to find out exactly what the Eagles would do with two picks in the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft. And I tell you what, once again, Howie shocks us all. And of course, I had to bring in somebody who knows the Eagles organization well, who knows Howie Roseman and what he thinks well, and somebody who's played the game at the highest level for over a dozen years. My colleague, my friend, nemesis, you know, antagonist, Barron Brooks. What's up, homie?
I'm always on the show, man, when it comes to my stepbrother. You know what I mean? I treat you like a stepbrother, bro.
Yeah, you always try to step on me. That's the problem. Well, B. Brooks, we go back to what happened on Thursday night. And, you know, you and I have done a number of shows together. We do a show called Sports Take together. And we talked about, you just knew Howie's wheels were spinning. And he had to do something. He couldn't just sit still. How shocked were you that he was able to pull off getting Jordan Davis, moving up a couple of spots to get the likes of a Jordan Davis?
I knew they had to move up, you know, just because the talent level at this draft was highly concentrated, probably in the first 10 picks. And you talk about Jordan Davis, he's a guy that, you know, brings a special talent to the draft. You know, there's nobody that I've seen. I've tried to think of a player that I played against or I've seen on TV with that size, 6'6", 341 pounds, running a 4.7 40. That's ridiculous, man. You never find – that's faster than most tight ends. That's faster than a lot of linebackers. Man, we're talking about a guy that – that's unheard of talent that you have at that position. You're talking about intangibles. Those are intangibles that you really can't you can't put them really into terms of what a player I've seen like that. I tried to look at it. I said, all right, you take Cortez Kennedy. You take Michael Dean Perry. You take a little bit of Albert Haynesworth. And you put it all together and you mix it up. And then you stretch it out 3 more inches. And then you add about 20 more pounds to it. That's what you get in this guy, Jordan Davis, man. So I don't know. I mean, where do you find a guy like this? So Eagles were able to go out and get him. And, you know, I just think that this is great for them to go out there and really put them, their defense in a position to, you know, really flourish with him being in the middle of it.
I want you to tell my listeners, because you had a few reservations about him. He was one of the names we talked about a few times going into the draft, and you had certain reservations about him that I thought were pretty interesting. Okay, which are?
You know, you're talking about a guy that he's virtually right now, as he sits right now, a two-down player, meaning he's on running downs, first and second down. He doesn't have refined pass rushing moves, especially with the talent. And of course, you know, he was on the – they've brought in a champion into the locker room. They just won the college football national championship. So, you know, he's won before. But when you look at him, he was on a defense that he only played a little over 30% of the snaps. So that means he was out the game when they had passing downs. And we all know this is a passing league. So can he adjust and be able to pass rush these offensive linemen that are in the NFL? Like, this isn't playing against, you know, Nebraska or Colorado, or he's playing against, you know, Alabama. He's playing against bona fide All-Americans, because when you get to the NFL, everybody's an All-American. So will he be able to pass rush against these guys? He has everything that you want: size, speed, stamina. I don't know about stamina that yet, but size, speed, explosiveness. Can that translate from the college level to the NFL level? I think he can, but it's going to take him a little work for it. He can't continue to stay at 340. He's got to get down a little bit. And he learned during the season this year. He played at 355, 360 pounds. Towards the end of the season, he knew he had to lose weight, become more competitive. So by the time they got to the playoffs and they were in the playoffs, he had lost a lot. He had got down to about 340, and he had his best games at that weight. So he sees how productive he can be at that weight. It's just about him staying at that weight. And, you know, that's going to be something that the Eagles are going to have to work on and monitor as they go forward. It's a lot different in college. In college, you know, if you went a little overweight, you know, they might make you run or something like that. In the NFL, they're going to take money from you. I think, you know, when I was in the league, it was $1,000 a pound. I think it's right around about two and a half, almost $3,000 a pound now if you're overweight. So they'll get it out of you eventually. Either you're going to pay for it, or, you know, you just go, you know, you're going to stay down. So he'll get down. But, you know, I'm looking forward to see what this kid can do in his defense.
Wait a minute. You said back in the day when you were playing $1,000 a pound?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, $998 a pound. So apples, oranges, to me, that's all fruit, man.
And you guys didn't make the kind of money they're making nowadays.
No. So just put things in perspective. I was only fined one time for being overweight. It was my second year in the league. We reported weight. We reported on Tuesday. No, we reported on Thursday. It was Thursday. We reported on Thursday. And Thursday, we always weighed in on Thursday. So I reported on Thursday. I was like 5 pounds under the weight I was supposed to be. You know, so I was good. All of a sudden on Saturday, she said, "Hey, guys, we got to weigh in again." I'm like, "Well, we got to weigh in for? It's not a day to weigh in." "Yeah, I know you guys kind of, you know, cheated the scale when you guys weighed in before." I was 9 pounds over.
Woo!
At that time, you know, I ate a big dinner that night, ate breakfast in the morning, went to the locker room, and they had the weights go. I'm like, "Well, what's this?" So lo and behold, out of my check was 10 grand.
Oh!
Yeah, bro. So, you know, from that point on, you didn't have to worry about me being overweight again. Because, I mean, I wrote a check for a little under 10 grand. And, you know, the missus was pissed off, too. You know, Miss Brooks don't play that. You know what I'm saying? She said, "That's about 3 or 4 pocketbooks, man. What are you doing?" You know?
Hey, but you look at a kid like Jordan Davis, and, you know, we talk about all the needs that they needed, like another edge rusher, a linebacker, a corner. So they go with the D tackle, and they're obviously solidifying the interior trenches of their defense. I think the thing I like most about this move is the fact that although he's a first-round pick, there's pressure already because he's a first-round pick. But because he has two proven players, two Pro Bowlers in front of him, it takes a little bit of that pressure off while he's able to learn from two of the better players in the game at that position.
Well, you're absolutely right, man. When you it's not a need to him for him to play right now. Now he can sit back and learn what it is to be a pro from a guy like Fletcher Cox. He can sit back and you know, Hargraves can school him a little bit, you know. And, you know, this kind of solidifies Gannon to what he wanted to do anyways with the defensive line. Now, we all know Fletcher Cox is a one-gap player. One-gap meaning he gets up the field, creates havoc that way. Well, in Gannon's defense, his defense, he wants guys to not necessarily two-gap, but fill a hole, fill that gap where you're at, not necessarily vacate it, because you're actually making them, you know, giving the linebackers a chance to go out and make a play. They want you to eat up space, and so the linebackers go in and make a play in the run game. They don't want you to go up there and get up the field, you know, because once you vacate that gap, it leaves a gashing hole between that gap and another guy's gap. So They got the guy to do it now. Now he can play a one gap. I mean, he can play a two gap system now. He can line up right over the center. We call it the zero technique. He can line up right over the center and versatile play both A gaps, man. And he's big enough that he would fill up that space to do it. You have to allocate blocking schemes to handle a guy like Davis, you know what I'm saying? Because he's big enough that you have to realize that he doesn't have to go anywhere unless he wants to go somewhere. So that's exactly what the doctor ordered for these linebackers. You know, now they can go make plays because they won't have guys coming up on them and hitting them without being blocked. So it kind of fits what Gannon wants to do.
Well, that's my next question. Do you think Gannon will get the most out of him? Because obviously, when you bring in a player like a Davis, you know, he has to fit into your scheme, but you also have to adjust your scheme to play to his strengths.
Well, I think that he is the type that, you know, what exactly is the scheme going to be that he can't play? I think he can play any scheme he wants to play if he has the desire to be as good as he wants to be. You know, we're talking about a guy that's, you know, that's virtually a unicorn as far as size, strength, athletic ability, ability to move. You know, he comes from a system that's kind of different than what Gannon uses. They kind of move their defensive line. They you know, pinched them a certain way, or, you know, the entire line went one way, you know, which kind of put the, you know, the defense in a better position because, you know, it's hard to block guys that are moving. Well, this kid here will sit there and he can, you know, you don't have to allocate, you know, resources as far as, you know, linebackers and stuff like that to stop the run. You have to run. You know, they were trying to stop the run by run blitzing. He didn't, John Gannon would do that. He'll just sit there and stop the run by himself right there. You're not running out the middle on this kid. So I think he will be able to run a system that Gannon wants to do and even run the system whoever wants, you know, whatever they want to run. He can get up the field and play one gap if he wants to, because once this kid wants to go one way, I doubt if there's anybody that can stop him at 340 pounds. Yeah. If you want to go that way, you're not going to stop him from going that way. So I've seen guys like Casey Hampton. Casey Hampton was like 310, 320. And when he wanted to go some way, you couldn't stop him from going that way. So, yeah, I think this kid can play a system, any system you want to play, and be very good at it.
You know, we also talked about how the cornerback prospects were a little bit thin in this particular draft. And, of course, early in the draft, Derek Stingley goes to Houston at number three. And then, of course, Sauce Gardner goes the next pick at number four to the Jets. And then, of course, after the Eagles selection process, there were still two more corners that went off the board. Trent McDuffie went to Kansas City, and Kaiir Elam went to Buffalo. Were you surprised they didn't attack the cornerback position a little bit more? Because that, we knew they had weaknesses on defense, but the cornerback situation for them is a glaring weakness.
I was shocked. I thought they would be more aggressive because secondary, if you ask me if they're better now than they were, they're definitely worse now because they've lost their starting safety and they lost their starting corner. Nelson went off to Houston, got a, you know, 2-year deal, $10 million. And we know McLeod. He went to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So they don't have two starters. I mean, Marcus Epps is going to be the starter at safety right now.
And
you still need another safety because a lot of the times these teams run, you know, a couple of safeties. So I don't know. I tend to think that, you know, this team is in a position where they have to go out and get some free agent guys unless they get somebody in the draft, you know, to fill these needs. You know, and if they do get these guys, we're talking about second rounders, can they come in and be starters and contribute right now? You know, we'll have to see that.
And, of course, with their second pick in that first round, which was the 18th overall pick, they take that and parlay a deal that shocks the world. They make a deal with the Tennessee Titans to get a young, proven commodity in A.J. Brown. Were you like me? That one definitely caught me off guard.
Oh, no question. I was on air actually with Ray, and Ray was like, what? Did he? Are you serious? I'm like, yeah. They traded for him, you know. So it shocked me, you know, because it's exactly what the doctor ordered to me. You want a veteran guy in there to come in and show him how to play the position, show these younger guys. And it just happened that he's the same age as the guys he's going to be showing, but he has 3 years of experience. you know, in doing it. So, you know, I really think at this point, he can go out there and play at a high level and show these younger guys how to play. They're going to be interested to try to figure out, all right, I want to have the same success you have. I want to be a 1,000-yard receiver also. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great pick for him. I think he has a lot to, you know, to do as far as proving himself and rejuvenate his career. He didn't do as well last year. He didn't have 1,000 yards last year. But the previous years, he had 1,000 yards. So, you know, this might be the first time this Eagles organization in the history of this organization has a 100 reception receiver.
You know, that's crazy. That's crazy.
They never had a 100 reception receiver throughout the entirety of this Eagles organization. They had a tight end do it, but never a receiver.
When I look at an A.J. Brown, he's a combination of so many things. He's a big body. It's hard to bring him down like a D.K. Metcalf. You can send him over the middle. You can send him long, and he can run away from people as well. So with that said, how much does that increase now the pressure on Jalen Hurts? We have to take into consideration that Jalen has only been a starter in the National Football League for 1 year. But last year they go out and get Devontae Smith. Quez Watkins has potential that he hasn't really tapped into yet. And you bring a proven commodity in like an A.J. Brown. So how much does that increase the pressure now on Jalen Hurts?
You got to, you know, put up or shut up. You know, I mean, they brought in the proper weapons that you know, that they feel as though you could work with. You know, that you're looking at what they had before. You know, I didn't think they had enough horses in the race to run the race. Now they have some horses in the stable. You now have a guy that can keep the chains moving. You know, he was one of those third down threats. You know, he took it upon himself. A.J. Brown took it upon himself to be that third down wide receiver that could keep the chains moving. Well, now there's no excuse. Get the ball to him, and you can keep the chains moving. You have a deep threat. You know, now you have a guy that can go out there and run consistent routes and get open in Smith. You know, they have everything that they need to have this offense take that next step in the passing game and open up the offense the way we need to do it. As a defensive coordinator now, you have to count for, all right, what Brown can do. You have to count for what Smith can do. You have to count for what Goddard can do. And that just opens up even the run game for this team, you know, with Hurts and the running back. So, you know, this is exactly what the doctor orders for us, giving Jalen all the tools that he needs to go out there and make this work on the offensive side of the ball. It's up to Jalen Hurts right now to make this thing happen.
How much more pressure does it put on Nick Sirianni to be even more successful in his offense now that he has another toy to play with?
Well, you know, they're allocating resources to him. You know, I mean, he wanted to go out there and get the receiver from Indianapolis, Pascal. He said he has that dog mentality. Well, hey, they granted your wish. They went out and got Pascal. Now they went out and got a proven number one receiver in A.J. Brown. Now, you're supposed to be the wide receiver whisperer. You were a wide receiver coach, you know, when you first, you know, became a coach. So as you go forward, can you, as a receiver, he played receiver also, can you get these guys playing at a higher level? Can you take with this young quarterback and mold him into what you want as an offensive guy? I can't wait to see what he does and what he, you know, dreams up as far as him being a play caller now.
What kind of grade would you give Howie Roseman after the first round for what he was able to do?
I got to give him an A.
Is this team better overall? Even though it's still draft, you still got a few more rounds to go. You think they're going to bring some free agents in, but as we look at this team right now, is it a better team?
I think that they are. I think they are a better team on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, I think they still suck. They need a lot more, even with them going out and getting.
They suck?
Yeah, even with them going out and getting Davis, you know, you still have a secondary that's patchwork together. And you know, do I have some, you know, faith in Zach McPherson being a starter at the corner position? Not right now. The safety position, Harris is the only guy there. You need guys to cover. You need guys to play that, you know, that strong safety. They don't have it right now, so I have to say they've regressed on the defensive side of the ball. They've gotten a little better because they have a pass rusher as a linebacker. They got a linebacker and they got a defensive lineman. They need to show me a little more because it wasn't good in the first place. Now it's gotten worse because they have not added enough to make them better.
If there's one thing we know about the NFL draft overall as a whole is that we really don't know because we sit and speculate for weeks about what we think teams are going to do, and very little turns out to be the case. What surprised you most about the first round?
First of all, you know, the quarterback was what? There wasn't a quarterback draft to what, pick 20 or something around there?
Until pick 20, Pittsburgh took Kenny Pickett.
You know, and that's an anomaly. You know, usually they're, you know, drafted first. A defensive player being drafted first, number one overall, you know, that usually doesn't happen. It's usually an offensive player. The mere fact that, you know, it wasn't a quarterback. And then Drake, you know, London being the first wide receiver pick.
That was crazy. Wow.
Yeah. You know, and also, you know, Aiden, you know, the defensive end from Michigan.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Being drafted number two instead of number one. He was a consistent number one. Thibodeau going number five. He was a consistent number one. You know, now these guys, you know, fell down a little bit, you know. And then what really was, you know, glaring is the mere fact that at 14, Kyle Hamilton was supposed to be a top five pick. Didn't get picked till then. You know, there was so much up and down. And sometimes we as media kind of evaluate differently than what these scouts evaluate. So some guys dropped, some guys went up. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess they fell where they were supposed to fall.
Last question to you. What did you think about what the teams in the NFC East did? I mean, you look at what the Giants did. They get Kenyon Thibodeau, a defensive end with the first pick at number five. Then at number seven, they go offense and get an offensive tackle, Evan Neal out of Alabama, another Alabama SEC product. Then you go down, Washington drop down from 11 to 16. They take Jahan Dotson, a wide receiver, out of Penn State, and then you go further down the draft, and Dallas decides to take an offensive tackle, Tyler Smith, out of Tulsa. Who do you think among those three teams had a decent picks?
I think the Giants kind of, you know, outdrafted everybody. You got to give them an A. You got to give the Eagles also get an A, but, you know,
yeah.
I think the Giants really maximized it. I sure do miss, you know, Gettleman and you know,
in New York.
Yeah, I miss Gettleman. You know, I really do. I miss their head coach. They're moving things around. They're making some things happen. They didn't extend Daniel Jones. They didn't take his option up for his fifth year. So if they have some things going on and with the Giants, you know, so as they go forward, I think they're only going to get better.
All right, Barrett Brooks, I always love your perspectives. And, of course, you and I yuck it up all the time, not only about football, but a lot of different things. But I thank you. All right, that's going to wrap up this latest edition of Gun on the One, the podcast brought to you by Patterson Square Garden. For my man, my colleague, and more importantly, my friend, Barrett Brooks, I'm Derek Gunn. Hey, everybody out there, continue to stay blessed. But as I tell you each and every week, more importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, I'm Derek Gunn. So long, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.